Blog Talk Radio.
Hiring policy. We have no Negroes, except on a menial level, you know.
Certainly. I mean, that may be it.
I'm positive, but I'll check it out with our man over at personnel.
Good.
Whoever they select will be the best known spy since 007.
I guess it's rope chain, man.
This shit looks like that gold on the road shit. It's real, man. This shit ain't real.
Come on, man.
Be cool, man.
Y'all not making
dollars too much and shit.
I don't give
on the first and 15th. This lot of money got less than a 20. Yo, you wanna buy from the dope man got paid. The man dope man boy about to qualify. You gotta get high off your own supply. From a big sword, G is all about money. This is 14, baby, pie comes free. And people out there not hip to the fight. If you see somebody get money for crack, he's a
dope
who you talking to? Do you know the fuck I am? And I can't believe this shit. This bitch is trying to gank me. Your horse slept inside your head with 9 inches of lipstick.
The doctor will love it.
The doctor?
Seems like a nice cat.
Sorry, but I'm not getting any younger.
And I'm not in your bag, right? I always knew it had to happen someday. It's all right, baby. Joy, let's say goodbye to Rice. Pleased with the way you fitted into the agency. How long have you been with us now?
Good, more than 5 years, sir.
And you've done well. You're a credit to your race.
Thank you, sir.
Hard work, Dan.
Oh, sure.
Other minorities pull themselves up by the bootstraps?
Yes, sir.
You're a perfect example, Dan.
Fine, natural athlete. No denying your people are great in sports.
Well, thank you, sir, but we still have a long way to go.
Right.
There's still the cultural gap to be closed. It's a question of evolution. Of course, it'll take generations. In the meantime, you people must earn respect by serving the country. Freeman, you people must serve.
General, I want to serve.
I don't understand.
College last Friday afternoon convinced me I can make a real contribution.
So I'm going back to Chicago and work with my people and show them the way.
Now don't be hasty, Raymond. In fact, you should think this thing over. After all, you do set an example for your people to follow.
Well, I realize that, General, and I have thought about it. But I've decided to take this position with the Social Service Foundation and help my people help themselves. Use what I've learned here.
Well, we'll be sorry to see you go, man. Take all the time you need to phase out here. You sure let us know how things are going in Chicago.
All right, so. Masters, may I finish that?
This event through a live stream, as well as many, many international viewers who will be following the video feed that can be found live on the startpage.com website. What does privacy mean to us? How do we value our privacy? When Edward Snowden found out about mass surveillance and mass spying, he felt he had no choice. He felt the only thing he could do, he needed to inform the people about it. He valued our privacy so much that he was willing to give up his own comfortable life as well as his freedom for it. And that's why we feel that he is our true privacy hero. You can imagine that when Mr. Snowden accepted our invitation from Startpage to be present here tonight, that we were both thrilled and really honored. I hope that both the movie and the discussion that will take place later on will add to our awareness about what the privacy challenges are in these modern times. I also hope that it will inspire us to actively defend our values and rights. I wish you all a very exciting evening tonight, and now I'd like to introduce you to the moderator of the evening, an excellent journalist and a well-known television broadcaster, Mr. Roderick Velo. Thank you.
So good evening to all the people, not only here in this wonderful theater of Tuschinski, but also welcome to all the people around the world who are looking now to our feed. We're very happy that everybody watches. We're going to talk to Mr. Snowden, and I hope that Mr. Snowden is already there. Mr. Snowden, are you there? Edward Snowden. Edward Snowden, we are very honored to have you here. We collected a lot of questions from all around the world, from the people here in the audience, and we put them in a couple of subjects, so we're going to start with those questions right away. But first, the movie. Did you saw the movie yourself?
I have, yes.
Yeah. And was it accurate, do you think?
Yeah, so, of course, it's a drama. So there are a lot of things that have changed. Things like a number of different officials throughout my life in different positions were sort of translated into big super. And just for the text, and I know I'm hearing myself being said back in the line a little bit. But the thing that I was most concerned about with the film, the question that was really burning in my mind was, would they get the technology right? Would they get the policies right? Would they get the programs right? And how they're actually affecting our lives. So what is mass surveillance? How does it actually work? How does the government justify it and claim that these things are not only legal, but are actually right? And in this context, the movie is actually surprisingly accurate for a drama. And that was something that left me with a good feeling.
Did you have a lot of contact with Oliver Stone for the movie?
Yeah, he came out several times and he spoke. I was able to meet with the lead actor as well, Joseph Gordon-Levitt, who was a wonderful guy. He's so warm, so charming. And, you know, I thought we were just going to sort of talk about how things were, you know, what his focus was, talk maybe a little bit about the politics behind how this all fit together and how this came to be. But he didn't tell me, but of course, as an actor, what he was actually there for was to try to understand how I move, how I speak, my little mannerisms and things like that. And he tried to put that into the film.
Fantastic. Was the trick, the famous trick with the Rubik's Cube, when you left the NSA, was that real? Happened that in real life? Or is it just a way to, you know, to hide the real reason how you smuggled the chip?
Sure. So I have to be careful in answering this because there is still an ongoing FBI investigation into me. My country's government considers me to be a fugitive. So I'll say this carefully, but what Oliver Stone has said previously is that this is a device for the film because no one knows what really happened. But what I can say about in real life is I did give, prior to leaving Hawaii, everyone in my office a gift of a Rubik's Cube. So there are many, many Rubik's Cubes going in and coming out of these offices past the guards all the time. And that's about as far as
on this way. Like this.
The security wasn't quite so hardcore official in the film, but people did carry kids.
Of course, we're going to ask you some questions about the new president-elect, Donald Trump. And the first question is from someone you probably absolutely know. It's Phil Zimmerman. He's the inventor of the unscripted email. Phil, can you come on the stage? No, he's on.
Okay,
I think. Yeah.
Okay. I a couple of years ago, I went to Moscow to speak at a conference, and I thought maybe I'd figure out a way to be able to meet you, but that never came to pass. I saw Citizen Four, and I saw that, as you were attempting to connect with Glenn Greenwald with PGP, and he couldn't be bothered to learn how to use PGP, my impression was, go find another journalist. So, when I wrote the PGP manual about 25 years ago, I described in there the idea of that if we build a surveillance infrastructure like we seem to be doing, that it would could be used by a future government that could be elected in a democratic election, that could use it for their whatever evil purposes they might have. And I did the same thing in some Senate testimony in 1996. And, I talk about that, and sometimes in a democracy, bad people can be elected. And if they inherit a technology infrastructure, a surveillance infrastructure, like what we've constructed, then they can use that to hang on to power. And I see that you made that point pretty clear in this story here. We now see that Trump will have a great deal of influence over what the NSA can do. Do you have any thoughts on that you'd like to elucidate on?
Yeah, so there's a number of things. First off, for people in the audience who may not be so familiar with Mr. Zimmerman's work, PGP is one of the original encryption schemes for email that I used in my original contact with the journalist. It's fair to say that the NSA revelation could not have happened in the way they did in 2013 without this man's work. So I have to say thank you very much for everything you've done, not just for myself, but for the world. But going on to the broader question here, I try not to look at this as a question of a single election or a single president or even a single government, right? Because we see these things, these threats coming across borders. We see the same thing happening in Russia. They've got this new surveillance law called the Yarovaya Package. Russians call it the Big Brother Law. In China, on the day of the election, the news was talking about how the Chinese had just passed a new mass surveillance law. And they got away with practically no criticism from the international community because they were clever enough to say that they had modeled it on the United States' own surveillance laws. And because our last two presidential administrations have been saying that these powers were so necessary, they were so valuable, and they didn't hurt anybody, now suddenly they can't criticize these other governments for doing the same thing. But this is a problem, because even if you think, all right, well, we want government to have authority and powers to be able to perform its legitimate tasks of securing the nation, of protecting our communities, of investigating crimes, right? But how is this done, and where do they depart from this model? When do they start creating exceptions to what we have in the United States, our Fourth Amendment, which is an individual's right to privacy, where they say the government can't interfere in your communications, they can't arbitrarily investigate your home or take your letters or your emails, either collecting them or reading them without going to a court and getting a warrant. But we have to recognize that even that barrier, the warrant requirement, the involvement of courts, doesn't mean the same thing in every country. If you say, well, mass surveillance is fine as long as the court's involved, Kim Jong-un in North Korea will go, oh, this is fabulous, because you know what? I have courts too. And they'll be happy to sign anything I put in front of them. And this is really something that we need to remember, is we are never farther than a single election away from a change in government, from a change in policy, from a change in the way the powers that we have constructed into a system are used. And so what we need to start thinking about now is not how do we defend against a President Donald Trump, but how do we defend the rights of everyone, everywhere, without regard to jurisdictions, without regard to the borders. We have this tremendous fabric of technology that we've enveloped the earth with, this internet that creates bonds of fraternity between people who don't even share the same language. But this fabric of communications that was intended to empower citizens and individuals of communities and families is increasingly being used to disempower them. Internet service providers, phone companies, governments, and other corporations are beginning to spy on these things. They're lifting up that fabric to look at the lives underneath, whether it is for the purpose of profit, or whether it's for the purpose of power, or whether it's for, in some cases, legitimate purposes. But we have to think for ourselves, what if we start weaving this fabric in a slightly different way? What if we start changing that dynamic mechanism that we face in the status quo today, which means when you pick up your phone and you make a call to your mother, your sister, your husband, your wife, that call is transiting that global network electronically naked. Anybody can look at it, anybody can listen to it, anybody can read it. What if we change that so that it's protected by default? Every communication, every transaction you engage with is protected. And you don't have to take some activity. You don't have to teach a journalist how to use this sophisticated encryption program, even if it is 20 years old and, you know, you hope that people should be able to get to use it at this point. Instead, we made this fabric work not just for Americans, not just for people in the Netherlands, but for the whole world. If suddenly we could not just support the human rights of people in Germany, France, Brazil, Iran, Russia, China, and America, we could enforce them. We could guarantee them through our technology. And I think this election reminds us that that capability is within our reach today. And we have not just the right to try, but the duty.
You know, I've devoted my career to trying to create that capability. And secure telephony is what I've been focused on in the last 12 years or so. I had the impression that you might have used something that I made for that too.
All right, this is a good lap for the re-election, so give it to me straight.
Well, there are no major defectors for campaign contributions here. The war chest is in excellent shape.
Good. Very good. What is our image, Will?
We've programmed the latest poll, Senator. Lewis Harris gave us a random pattern sampling with peer group anchorage, Gallup, a factorization vertical syndrome study with horizontal personality backstopping, and NORC ran an ethnic study with racial and religious breakdown, status quo compensation, and socioeconomic balancing.
Yes, good. But am I winning or losing?
Losing, Senator.
Losing? But why? The computers had me ahead last December.
It checks out on both computers, plus the one we have at the safety valve backstopping cross-check. If the elections were held today, you would lose by 1.846 percentile.
1.846 percentile. Oh, yes. The computers don't lie.
Isn't there a possible breakthrough with any of the peer groups? How are we doing on the Jewish vote? Senator Solid with the Jews, Mrs. Hennington. The Negroes are the trouble spot.
The Negroes?